Blog Talk Radio.
Today, we have the founder of the Disciples of Christ. Disciples of Christ is a mainline, associated with a mainline Protestant denominations here in the United States and Canada. Alexander Campbell founded them, and as part of our presidential political animals, we have three American presidents who have been Disciples of Christ. Disciples of Christ believe that that to be and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was the Son of the Living God and the Savior of the world. And it's a Protestant mainline organization, and there are about 625,000 members across the United States and Canada, about 3,615 congregations. There are only three presidents that we know of that were members of Disciples of Christ, and they are James Garfield, which you'll see his picture on this blog talk, Lyndon Baines Johnson from Texas, Garfield was from Ohio, and Ronald Reagan, who was from Illinois. Ronald Reagan's father was actually Roman Catholic, but he embraced the religion of his mother, which is something that kids in mixed marriages sometimes do. It's been a controversy in the Catholic Church, but this is, that's the way things are. Among the other birthdays today, we have Herbert Asquith, and he was the guy who, Richard Gatling. He invented the hand crank machine gun called the Gatling gun. It was used with devastating effect in the Plains Wars against the American Indians. And I think it was used in the Civil War. And so this is one weapon that Americans invented. In 1832, an interesting British politician and prime minister was born, Herbert Asquith. He was the prime minister of England during the First World War. And at the beginning of that war, when war was declared by Britain, France, and Russia against Germany and Austria, Asquith said, "The lights are going out all over Europe, and they shall not be relit in our lifetime again." And he was so correct, because that was the fall. The war caused the fall of the Romanovs in Russia and the Hohenzollerns, Kaiser Wilhelm, in Germany. And of course, Kaiser Wilhelm was the grandson of Queen Victoria, the British late monarch at that time. She died on January 22nd, 1901. The great journalist and wit, and with sarcastic acid in his pen, H.L. Mencken, Herbert Mencken, who worked for the Baltimore Sun, born on this day. Maurice Chevalier, who was in the French Army in World War I, and also was a collaborator in World War II, and you probably remember him in Gigi. He was also gay in his private life. The great publishing house, Knopf & Knopf, K-N-O-P, Alfred was born on this day. If you've seen The Wizard of Oz and The Wicked Witch, Margaret Hamilton, she was born today. Jesse Owens, a black athlete from Chicago, who won two of the races in of the 1936 Olympics. Hitler refused to acknowledge him, and he walked out. Owens and Ralph Metcalf were the two blacks from Chicago who were participated and who won races. Metcalf later became a Chicago alderman. Of those who remember the unique voice of Frank McGee, NBC, birthday. Great British actor Ian Holm was born on this day. A great Greek ethnic opera soprano, Tatiana Troianos from New York. If you remember the rock star Barry White in The Eve of Destruction. And another musician who specialized in doing Cole Porter arrangements for Angel Records. And also orchestrations, John Mercuri, M-A-U-C-E-R-I. Among the deaths today, Louis Stone, who was the grandfatherly character in several 30s movies, remember Hopalong Cassidy, William Boyd, died today, and this black South African activist who was thrown out of a window after being tortured and brutalized by the South African police during apartheid, Steve Biko supposedly fell out of a seventh-story window. And then a Scandinavian ethnic who was the head of NATO, American General Air Force, Loris Norstedts, very unusual name. And do you remember Regis Toomey? He died at age 93 on this date. Among the events today, in 446, the Athenians defeated the second Persian invasion. And those of you from New York, Henry Hudson discovered your river, the Hudson River. And a horrible thing happened in Ireland. It's still remembered by people like Patrick Butler, who were Irish historians. Drogheda. The Irish were defeated by Oliver Cromwell, and everybody was massacred at the end of the defeat, the end of that armed conflict. Nathan Hale, in 1776, began his spy mission. It was he was on his way to die, be hanged, and he made the famous gallows statement when he was caught by the British, "I have only one life to give for my country." And, of course, as I've said oftentimes, and having been known people in the company and KGB people in my career, Americans have never understood spying, and every country does it out of necessity. Probably today, the Mossad is probably one of the best. And also, Putin is not KGB, but GRU, military intelligence in Russia. And, of course, we have MI5 and MI6, and then we have our CIA, and then the French have their Désarmement Bureau. But, again, it's something Americans need to learn about and accept because it's necessary. There have been many, many mistakes made by the companies and spy agencies, and it's cost lives and even careers. In 1918, the Battle of Saint-Michel in France, a very brutal battle which we won. In 1938, Hitler made a demand of the part of Czechoslovakia known as Sudetenland, Southland, and demanded that the Germans there have be allowed to do a self-determination plebiscite, which means unite with Germany. And, of course, this was going to cut off part of Czechoslovakia, which later today has been broken up into several regions. But Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain and the French Premier de Lattier caved in and appeased Hitler. And, of course, that only whetted his appetite for more. And as we're seeing this today, that the Muslims, this current administration appears to appease the Muslims, who are a bunch of terrorists. And it is a religion that is very militant, and they have set out to conquer Western Europe throughout their history. They came up from Africa through Spain, and they were stopped at Tours by Charlemagne. And it was very interesting clash of animals. The Arabs, so the Africans and the Muslims, had the stallions, which were very fast and light and maneuverable, but the French had these very heavy, in effect, plow horses, which also helped the Charlemagne and the French win the battle and stop the invasion from Spain, from Africa, of Muslims. Also on this day, Jackie Kennedy married John F. Kennedy, and Khrushchev became the first secretary. He later came to America, was insulted, and was invited to San Francisco by our late, great Mayor George Christopher. And, of course, we have some of that interview. Also, we have it on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. And then in 1983, when I was a correspondent in the South Pacific, the Russians shot down a Korean KAL passenger jet, which came from Alaska and probably overflew a region that the Russians claimed off of Sakhalin Island. And the Russian air defense sent up planes to try to escort the Korean jet down to Russian territory for invading Russian airspace, so they said. They shot the plane down, and Congressman Larry McDonald was on that, a congressman from Georgia. It is believed that there were survivors from that jet, and he is in a gulag, or was in a gulag, or may have died in a Russian gulag. Mel Belli, when I interviewed him, I date somebody in his office who was a legal secretary. I asked him about what he had to do with the legal action against the Russians. And what he told me was that he represented the families of some of the survivors, and that what he did when the Russians, he made a demand on the Russians, which they ignored typically at that time. And so what he did was he had his investigators find out what the Russians were buying in the United States. He went into court and got a lien against the Russians and gave it to the U.S. Marshal. So when the Russians were the products that they had purchased in America were being prepared to be loaded onto Russian ships, the marshal seized them, and until the Russians paid up, they quietly paid up. And so Mel Belli won another one. Mel is dead. I used to dine at his house, and did an interview, which I think is on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, when he talks about dog bite liability. And today, this is interesting, today in Japan it's Respect for Aged Day. Now there's a connection to this on the Chinese city, Shanyang, S-H-A-O-N, has deputized their senior citizens to issue traffic citations for not wearing a helmet, not having a license or not having insurance, and quality of life issues, spitting on the sidewalk, littering. And so senior citizens go around, issue these citations, and they collect 80% of the fine. And maybe this is what, since the police here in America, many of the cities are having, they have to do cutbacks of personnel, especially law enforcement personnel. This may be a way, this is an untapped source of revenue. Just as bicycles, which I call the lavender, not the lavender left, some of them are, but the latte left, the latte leisure class, the bicycles can cost as much as $5,000, yet they're not taxed. There's no, they're not required to have license plates. It costs about $33,000 to put in a bicycle lane. They've got all kinds of privileges. Showers have to be installed in office buildings so that the people who commute by bicycle can take a shower before they go to work. Special bike racks are put up. Bikes are fine in a college campus, at the beach, in the park, but in many of the cities, which have, like San Francisco, which are hills, they're not practical, and you're not going to have your groceries delivered on a bicycle. This is one big political fiction that bicycles will contribute to the economy. This isn't China, whom we used to laugh at as having a poodly economy. Now, in New York, There was the New York Times, controversial newspaper, did a poll, so-called, on bicycles in New York City. And the public policy question that we're asking is, who wrote the questions? Who chose the sampling of the bicyclists? Who paid for the poll? And who checked the answers, if they were checked? And this is a question that people should ask about every poll, that, you know, you just don't take these things blindly. And, of course, one of the worst polls is this field poll. Here in San Francisco, they claim that we have a population of over 30 million people in the state and about 10 million voters, at least, and yet they'll do a sampling in a liberal city like Santa Monica or Hollywood or San Francisco and poll supposedly about 1,500 people, and this is supposed to represent the thinking of the state of California, the voters. You know, you believe that, then you believe the moon is made of cheese, green cheese. You know, that we need to ask those questions of every poll. It's the same thing. People don't believe the poll about the coming election, that Obama's way ahead. You know, there's a lot people should ask the questions again. Who wrote these questions? Who chose the sampling? Who paid? And who checked the answers? So it's very important. Don't accept any of these polls. And it's the same thing that Hitler pulled on the question of the Sudetenland, that he, according to his polls, which was BS, and Gore and Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister, was very good at lying, said that they polled and the majority of the Sudetenland, the South Germans, wanted union to be brought into to be part of Hitler's Germany. And nobody asked the question, well, wait a minute, who talked to these people? So, and we swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And many of these public policy questions, when they're poll taken, people need to ask these hard questions. Don't, you know, don't be fooled and don't be conned by pollsters. Among the other things today, what was I going to say? Yeah, here we go. That need to look at these untapped sources of revenue, because it's not fair for people who are trying to hold on to their jobs. Gasoline's nearly $5 a gallon. Food prices are going up because of the drought and floods and other natural disasters. We need to start asking what untapped sources of revenue are available, that the government should start going after them. Collecting this money, because the money is there, and these people have all this disposable income for lattes, expensive clothes, going to the opera, restaurants, and those who have a drug addiction, cocaine, which is not cheap. You know, this is a source of untapped revenues that need to be tapped and tapped tightly. So money is there, and it's not fair for people who have to have an automobile and have to pay to not only pay for road work, maintenance, license, insurance, but also subsidize these latte leisure class bicyclists. So, you know, call your representative in the state house, call your governor, and if your state is one of those that doesn't license bicycles, doesn't tax them, auto bicycle registration, it's time to do that. It's only fair. And also forgot that Mitt Romney is the second Mormon candidate for president. The first one was Smith, who was the founder of Mormonism. We'll get into the religion of the other presidents and who didn't have a religious affiliation. There were two in the White House at the same time. It's very interesting. Now, I'm going to play this interview from or the comment from Jesse Owens. I thought I had it here. About what happened when he won the Olympics, the marathons in Germany in 1936, and of course I've got to purge some of this because it's a huge number. We've done about 1,500 interviews plus of the recent ones we have done, and they're in our archives. Excuse me. And, you know, you won't hear these anyplace else. A lot of work was done here over when I worked at Western Public Radio and also KLW-FM, the school district's radio station here in San Francisco, which covers Northern California. Also, It's on one of the 9/11 connections to San Francisco. There are two of them. One has to do with the Steve Nary U.S. Navy case. One of the jurors, we got the jury list. One of the jurors worked for the Army Corps of Engineers and was present at the 9/11 disaster site. This guy's dirty. He didn't pay his child support, and there was a lien filed in the courts against him. The guy who developed prevention or disaster procedures, such as for FEMA, David Fowler, who died in that month of September 2001. He was from San Francisco, and he also, David was probably gay. He died of AIDS. I knew him from KLW and from the media here in San Francisco, and upcoming is the rare interview that he did with Dan White before the assassination of Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone. Here is that interview that Jesse Owens did after he won the 1936 Olympics in Berlin.
Jesse, what was your biggest thrill in Germany?
Well, Bill, the biggest thrill in Germany was when I won the 100-yard dash and the American flag went up and they were playing the Star-Spangled Banner.
That was very copacetic. Now, how did you like the German meal?
Well, the German meals were all right, but it took too long to get them.
Jesse, what is your immediate plan?
My immediate plan for the present time is that I'm going back home. I'm going back to the university to finish my year in college. I have another year, as you all know, and I want to get my degree in the end of June.
Will you turn professional?
Turn professional, I do not know. As I said before, I have another year in school, and I haven't any plans about turning professional whatsoever.
Jesse, what was your biggest thrill in Germany?
Well, my biggest thrill was when I won the 100-yard dash, 100-meter dash, rather, and the American flag went up, and they were playing the Star-Spangled Banner, and we stood up there and salute, and it was really a marvelous day.
That was very copacetic. Now, how did you like the German meal?
Well, the German meals were fine, but it took a little bit too long to get them.
Well, that was Jesse Owens, and, of course, his sidekick, a fellow black African ethnic, was Ralph Metcalf, who later became a Chicago alderman. And I think he was in office during the time of Mayor Richard Daley I. We'll be back Friday at 4 o'clock. We're working on some live interviews with a descendant of one of the great American labor leaders who founded one of the major labor unions here in America and tried to help women who were abused, who were seamstress, and other people who were abused. And it does happen. It did happen at the turn of the century. And so we will have an interview with him. We also have a lawyer coming up and a few other people who were in the profession talking about what's going on with the legal profession, if you want to call it that. So we'll end tonight with our usual politics and poker. So let's see. I don't know any politicians or presidential candidates who play poker, but they certainly are playing politics.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clap?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen,
How about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and polka, politics and polka, shuffle up and tar and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to mention
where to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Better.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll fold.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Vanyashinkovic. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average
folks. We'll be back Friday. I'm getting my voice back at 4. I'll be back at 4 p.m. And hopefully we'll have one of our live interviews. This is Peter Paul Barzola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. And we just put up another in part of our magazine format, e-magazine format. Buddha leads Moses, where a chihuahua named Buddha intimidates or bullies this hybrid dog named Moses. And we'll have other a new scandal in San Francisco where we now have America's first close option neighborhood. This is Peter Paul Barzola, and also go to our Barzola.com, BERZOLA.com, to check out our blog. So this is, we'll end right now, and I'm about to lose my voice again. Good night.